Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. SGPN is teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Get 50% off your Shady Rays using promo code SGPN. And then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500. We're also brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Howdy ho, Degeneranos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 350 is going up out to our main man, Top Noy Kiram, who we're going to talk about today. I'm glad we get to talk about Top Noy again. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm one of the hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. No UFC this week, but as we've always said here, we made it our slogan, no UFC, no problem, because we have road to UFC this week. The UFC is starting up another tournament, this time in Shanghai to add some more Asian fighters to the ranks of the official UFC. So they got a bunch of tournaments kicking off this Saturday, two sets of fight cards on Sunday. So we're going to spread those out over the next three episodes and give you our picks. Well, Gumby will give you his picks because he is an expert on regional MMA. Even though Asian regional MMA is a little harder to watch and to do research on, but I think he did good with his picks last season of this. Let's bring him in and find out. It's one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
So it's back when I didn't really have a chart that I kept all that faithfully for regional MMA. Like, we used to keep our stats for UFC, but not so well for the regional stuff. And so I think I did well, but I would have to go back and look. I will tell you, it's really easy to get film on some of these guys and really hard to get film. I had to go to my back corners of the internet to find some of it. But I believe I've got enough for all you guys to feel pretty good about these picks.
Yeah, some of the fighters we have seen before, either some of them in the actual UFC, some of them on last season of Road to UFC, some of them in the biggest promotion in the world, ONE FC. So some of them aren't complete unknowns, but there are quite a few who have fought outside of regional Asian promotions. But we're going to give you the goods regardless. No odds, right? I haven't seen odds anywhere. Have you seen odds either?
No, I've been looking for them. I haven't found any of them, but I do think I've got a pretty good beat on who should be a favorite everywhere. So at least on, let's see, we're going to break down 20 fights for you over the next three episodes. I would tell you I've got a good feeling that I'm going to be in the ballpark on the odds on, let's say, 18 of them.
Wow, that's a 90% success rate. Pretty good. At the very least, he'll let you know what range to bet it, or if a fight gets to a certain level, don't hit it. Because regional odds, they tend to jump, especially when after they first drop, they tend to jump. Odds get a lot of movement on them very quickly. So the odds that we quote you may not be what you can see at your book. So Gumby hopefully will give you a range that you can bet in, and then we'll push it on forward like that. But we'll better jump into it. As Gumby said, this next week we have 20 fights to break down. So before we jump into the first batch, let's tell you about Edge Boost. SGPN is excited to announce an exclusive early access partnership with Edge Boost. the world's first Bet Now, Pay Later Visa card. Similar to Buy Now, Pay Later programs like Affirm and Afterpay, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest and pay back the advance over four equal weekly installments. That's right, 0% interest. So the deposit funds in your account and Edge Boost will match the deposit, so you can use two times the funds on any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances as you build a repayment history. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 or older to use. Only valid in legal gambling states. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Usually Gumby's Edge Boost double down play of the day is usually an Atlanta Braves pick. Probably just bet the Atlanta Braves going forward, right? Is that the play?
That's a decent play, or bet against the Mets. They've been hot lately, but you know, they're bound to cool off.
There you go. That's some MLB Edge Boost double down plays you can do. Or if your book has, hopefully you have a book that has Road to UFC odds, then you use some of these picks we're going to give you right here and double down on those with Edge Boost. All right, Road to UFC Shanghai is the first. Well, actually, they're all called that. The first event is happening Saturday, May 27th. So this coming Saturday, 6 a.m. Eastern. So the hardcores will probably enjoy the wacky start time for that. It's going down from the UFC Performance Institute Shanghai in Shanghai, China. Five bouts. These are all tournament fights. This card is going to be flyweights and featherweights. We start at the bottom. Our man Topnoi Kiram makes a return. Flyweight bout against what's his first name, Dan? It just says his name so long, it just says N. Nayan Jargal Tumin Demberal. It's going to be a fun week of pronunciations, isn't it?
Yeah, Tumin Demberal, I'm pretty sure, but yeah.
Tumin Demberal versus Topnoi Kiram. We like Topnoi because he has a personality and likes to smoke cigarettes after his fight. So, Tumin Demberal, 6-0. He's got two knockouts, four submissions. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Go get the shirt from the sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. He is from Mongolia. I should tell you what country all these different fighters are from, because we have some interesting countries or fighting in this tournament. He has fought up a weight class at featherweight. He's 6 years younger than Kiram, 2 inches taller than him. Kiram Lucky Left is the nickname. Not Lefty, Lucky Left. 9-4, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. He went 1-1 in last season of Road to UFC. He's won 3 of his last 4. He did win his last fight via TKO. And he usually fights down. Actually, what fight is this? This is at, he usually fights down at bantamweight. I believe that's the same with Tumin Demberal, or they have fought down at bantamweight. And I don't have any odds or any other info. A lot of times we don't even have ages. We often don't have reach on a lot of these fighters because they are mystery men to everyone except for Gumby.
So you met up at bantamweight, right? Because this is it, flyweight.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Right. I'm looking at the top. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. So Tumin Demberal used to fight up at two weight classes at featherweight. Kiram used to fight up at bantamweight. Right.
Yeah. Now go ahead. And he fought at flyweight last time on Road to the UFC too. He was in the flyweight tournament. It's weird. This has got a flyweight and a featherweight tournament in it, and this is not part of it, despite being the right weight class for one of them. Right.
This isn't a tournament. Yeah.
Which I don't know. Usually there's like a feature fight, and that feature fight usually is like a weight class they're not going to have. Like they had a 205 fight last time and no tournament to go along with it. But like, I almost wonder if this is like their chance to be like, all right, Topnoi, you got one more shot, my man. Either go get it or don't. And I think he's going to be a sizable underdog here. People are going to fade the fact that we've got the Thai style fighter in Kiram against somebody who wrestles kind of decently. You actually find that a lot with Mongolian fighters. They've got some pretty decent wrestling. And Tumin Demberal he's good once he gets you into the clinch. If he gets you into the clinch, he can like take the back really easily. And he does a good job of searching for subs. But if he can't get to your back, he sort of struggles. He's really spazzy on the feet. And so I'm actually going to go underdog out the gate here. I'm going to take Topnoi. And it's because I think even though his takedown defense isn't really great, his submission defense is really good. So like, even if he has to ride out one round with Tumin Demberal on his back, as long as he doesn't do that twice, I think he's going to look better in the clinch. His elbows in the clinch are phenomenal. He throws nice little knees. If this stays at distance, which like he could keep it at distance, I think he's going to outkick him. I think he's going to outstrike him. I think he's just going to look sharper. So if you ever get Topnoy as a dog here, like, definitely playable as a dog, right up until even money. And I think he's probably going to be, let's say he's plus 175 here. That's going to be my guess.
Fantastic. Yeah, I didn't even notice. I'm glad Dan caught that. There's no little tournament logo beside this one on Tapology. So yeah, I was going to say this is probably a feature fight to try to get Topnoy in because he's an exciting, fun personality. So there you go. Right out of the gate. Hopefully we got Gumby's got a big dog for you. Now we're going to tournament fights. This is a flyweight fight. Rei Tsuyura from Japan versus Runo Siahaan from Indonesia. Yeah, I'm butchering names, but that's what you come here for. All right. Siahaan, don't have much info on him. He's 7-0, though, with 5 knockouts, and he's 4 inches taller than Tsuruya.
Yeah, Tsuruya.
All right. Tsuruya is also undefeated. 6-0, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions. He was a regional champion. He's 5 years younger than his Indonesian counterpart, and that's all I got for you for this one.
So I'm going to go, first of all, if you're looking for fake odds that I make up on the spot, I'm going to say Tsuruya, big favorite here, let's say negative 230, and I'm going to ride with him. I think he's a rightful favorite here. From what I've seen from him in the clinch, very good with his takedowns, including, like, he can sometimes just take you down with a whizzer, which I know is sort of that because he's fought some, like, lower skilled opponents. But I've seen him like take people down with just like a good hard wizard. He's very, very aggressive. He's not particularly good with his hands, but I will say he's good defensively. Like he doesn't hang around. Like he's not one of those people who I say, his boxing's not great. And it's because he like overextends himself and gets popped on the chin all the time. It's just like, he doesn't seem to have a good sense of range or how to get in and how to get out, but he gets out more than he gets in. So, once he's got you on the ground, his ground and pound's excellent. So he's safe, but also good once he's on the ground. Siahaan, just not good takedown defense. He uses all of the like low percentage defenses for takedowns. He's the type of guy who tries to get that like body lock over the top, which never really works. Or he goes for a lot of switches. Not that that's like a terrible thing to do, but like it's a terrible thing to only do. And in his last fight, he was actually getting the shit beat out of him. And the guy shot one more takedown and he just threw a knee and it caught him and it was the body shot ended it. So I think Tsuruya is just gonna roll him here. And if you can get him up in the higher negative 200s, he's parlay fuel, but you could even be comfortable with a straight bet in the low 200s.
All right, let's move on to some more fun names. This is in the featherweight weight class. A couple of Chinese fighters going up against each other. Yi Zha, or Zha Yi, if you rather, versus Jaihifu Wuziazabiki.
Sure.
See, you don't even know. All right, tell you about Wuziazabiki first. I believe that's his last name. Prairie Kitty is his nickname. We need more info. Dan.
That's great. I love it.
It is great. Put that in the nickname archive for sure. One needs to be remembered. All right. He has a lot of experience under his belt. 30-11-1, 6 knockouts, 16 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 4 times. So very durable fighter. Finished 5 times in 42 fights. He has gone 3-2 over his last 5 fights, including winning his last fight. He used to fight up at lightweight and down at bantamweight. He's one of the mystery men I don't have an age for. He's 2 inches taller than Zha. Zha is 22-4, 5 knockouts, 12 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 0-1 in the UFC, 2-0 in road to the UFC. So he made his way into the UFC after last season and then flamed out. 1 fight. He's out after 1 fight. That's rough. 3 of his last 4, he has won. 10 of his last 12, he has won. He used to fight at lightweight as well.
Yeah, so he was out after 1 fight in the UFC because he was a road to the UFC finalist, correct?
Right.
So, and they wound up having to squeeze those onto a fight card. So I don't think anybody actually counted that as being in the UFC, which I think is how he wound up back on the UFC. Like, if you watch most of the guys who lost in the finals, I think most of them are back on this season. So, look, I think Zayi is going to be a big favorite here. If you look at like what I'm hearing people say early, it sounds like he should be like negative 300, maybe even better. Let's say negative 350. But what I've seen out of him is like he just throws a ton of takedowns. And like he works well against the cage, but he does get backed up to people who are pressuring him too much. Like he wants to throw takedowns, but if you back him up, he kind of looks scared. We saw that in the fight that he lost. And I think Jiao Hefu is going to be the type of guy who can deal with that fine. Jung Yong Lee dealt with it fine, but I also think Jiao Hefu can deal with it. He's kind of like a, so he looks like a rangier striker. He keeps his hands low, kind of karate stance, but that like the low hands is really great for takedown defense. And he's kind of got some nice wrestling in his own right. It's like a lot of body locks and like scrambles off of that. But like his wrestling is not bad. And I actually think his jiu-jitsu skills are way better than Zhai Yi's. So I think he's going to come in here as a pretty massive underdog. Let's say like high 200s at the very least. So I'll say like plus 280 here. And I think he's definitely worth the flyer. So give me Jia Hefu here.
Whew, look at that. Right out of the gate, Gumby is giving you massive dogs. Hopefully they end up being massive dogs. All right, before we move on, let me tell you about something else you should be interested in. Shady Rays and Shady May. Shady Rays teamed up with SGPN for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off, but you also have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. Last than all, Shady Rays offers the most insane protection all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And for international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered as well with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. Go to shadyrays.com and use code SGPN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Then take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest. Okie dokie.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What are we moving to now? We're going to go back down to flyweights. Mark Klamako versus Jung Hyung Lee. So we have an American, Asian American versus a Korean fighter, South Korean fighter. Let me tell you about the Korean fighter first. Lee, the Phenom is the nickname. He's 8-0 with 4 knockouts. He also is a pro kickboxer. 5 years younger than Klamako. He's an inch taller than him. Klamako is 8-1. 2 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once. He's won 2 straight fights, and he went 1-0 in Bellator. And that's all I got.
So, first of all, Klamako is, I believe both of his parents are from the Philippines. At least one of them is, which is why I think he's on this card. Because we do have, we're actually going to talk about, later on in the week, we're going to talk about a fighter from Switzerland. But it's, again, somebody with some like Asian heritage. So let me tell you something. Mark Lamaco should be the biggest favorite on this card. I think there are some people who are in on Lee a little bit. But like I would say Lamaco should be like a negative 600 favorite. But I think he's probably going to come in instead at like negative 300, 325, like kind of that same range. I was just talking about Zai Yi, only like there's still value on him at negative 325 because this guy's amazing. He's really powerful. He's really freaking strong. He's been fighting in LFA. He's been looking great in LFA, with the exception of like kind of an unfortunate loss where he just got caught against Yuma Horiuchi. Like his last two fights, he just like ragdolled Miguel Sanson. And Miguel Sanson is legit. Like I think we talked about him before he fought Tyrus White, and like he's good. Klimako is just like a suffocating grappler. And there's things to like about Lee. You know, he throws some nice push kicks. He's pretty quick. He got nowhere near the takedown defense he needs for Klimako. Like Klimako is just this is going to be one of those parlay legs that you just don't have to sweat on. He's just going to take him down, rinse and repeat. If you can get props, Klimako by decision is probably the right way to play this. But in the meantime, like just hashtag throw him in a parlay.
What was the number you had given us that?
Well, let's say negative 325.
All right. Yep. That's definitely parlay material. All right. Let's go to our main event. Technically, they don't really have a main event, but the top of the card is Kasuki Sasu from Japan versus another Korean fighter, Sang Wong Kim. This is at featherweight. And I should mention all these fights are 3 5-minute rounds as per usual. Kim, no problem. It's a nickname. 9-5-1, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. He's gone 3-1 over his last 4 fights. He did lose via TKO in his last fight, though. He was a regional champion as well. He's fight at lightweight, 5 inches taller than Sasu. He's a mystery man. I don't have his age or his reach anywhere on the internet that I can find. Sasuke is a nickname. 11-2-1, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, so he's been finishing both of his losses. He was on last season of Road to UFC. He went 1-1. After that, he's won 2 straight fights in 9 of his last 10. He won his last fight via TKO. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. And that is it for me.
So I think Sasu also going to be a big favorite here. I think probably, let's say, negative 275 to plus 250 on the comeback from Kim. And if you're looking for a breakdown of Sasu, I mean, we kind of got it all. He fought Zai Yi, which maybe they're on a collision course again here, except for I'm going to pick against both of them. I think they're both going to be favorites, but I'm going to take the dog here on Kim here because in that fight with Zai Yi, I mean, he's a little bit slow and sloppy in the exchanges. He throws a leg kick that I don't think is particularly all that well. Like, he doesn't understand the distance of, like, how to hurt somebody with a leg kick. He's got an okay double leg, but he's, like, he clearly is only doing it because he likes his jiu-jitsu, and he's not particularly great at the wrestling. He's a jump guillotine guy. I will tell you that. For those of you who hate jump and guillotine, he is a jump guillotine guy. And Kim, I think, just has, like, enough of the basics when it comes to wrestling. Like, he doesn't do anything real flashy, but he gets his arms underneath. He blocks the takedowns. He's really good offensively wrestling, but doesn't use it all that much. And he's going to have a big advantage in terms of size here. Sasu is only 5'5". He's a real short guy. His reach is a little bit longer than 5'5". It's like a 5'7 reach here. But Sangwon Kim, he's 5'10". And he fights long, too. So, like, even if Sasu does try to get his wrestling going and his jiu-jitsu going, I think he's going to have trouble against a guy who's much taller with good wrestling defense and better sense of range. So it will be my third dog of the day, but I'm going to take Sangwon Kim.
Fantastic. Going with the dogs. That's what we love coming for. What number did you give us? Plus what?
I'm going to say plus 250.
All right. Let's recap. First event in the books. He's got Kim as a big dog, hopefully. Klimako as probably a big favorite. Was Azibiki as a big dog? I think he picked him just so I had to say the name again. Tsuruya probably is a big favorite. And then Topnoi Kiram as a pretty sizable dog. Sound correct?
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
All right. First in the books, we got two more episodes. Actually, two more. Yes. We have Wednesday, Thursday. That's right. To break down the last three fight cards of Road to UFC. In the meantime, get in the Discord and chat with us. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Twitter, we're at SGPN MMA, at Gumby Vreeland and at Jeff Fox Writer. You can listen to Gumby's Top Turtle MMA podcast, which will be dropping in a day or two. You want to tell us who's on it? You want to save that for another episode?
They're not in the can yet, so I'm going to save it.
Oh. Yep. Don't want to jinx things. All right. So listen to Top Turtle MMA. It'll be good regardless of who is on it. All my MMA writings can be in your inbox conveniently for you if you subscribe to moneymma.substack.com. And make sure you, for all things sportsgamblingpodcast.com, go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Imagine that. All right. That is it for me. Gumby's going to tell you goodbye. Go ahead, Gumby.
All right. I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's the Prairie Kitty Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Wednesday.